Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps, all we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome to A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinkers here on Redbox Media. Can I teach you today the most powerful, most awesomest prayer in the entire world, well, at least in my life? It has to be the Memorare. Up until literally 5 seconds ago, I wasn't able to get online with you. I wasn't able to come live and have a Seeking Heart show with you. I'm a little scattered, but our Blessed Mother rocks. I just prayed a quick Memorare and just trusted her, and boom, here we are. Thank you, Blessed Mother. In fact, that's the prayer we're going to start today's show with. I said I was going to teach it to you. If you haven't memorized this one yet, I'm telling you, make the time and repeat this one every day. In fact, you know what? I actually learned it by praying it the way Mother Teresa taught. She said it's an emergency novena. You just say it 9 times in a row when you are having one of those moments where you need help. She called it an emergency. Whenever you need a little extra prayer support, you say this 9 times. Let's start with a prayer, with the Memorare prayer. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. O most gracious Virgin Mary, never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired with this confidence, I fly unto thee, O virgins, my mother. To thee I come, before thee I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in thine mercy hear and answer them. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And answer them, did she ever. We almost had to do this over the phone. Blech. There's nothing worse than that phone. I hate the phone anyway. I'm just not a phone person. Ask anybody who's tried to be my friend before we had social media. I'm even worse now that we don't really need to contact each other in such a way. I've never been a phone person. It's, I don't know. Maybe you aren't either, because no one ever calls in at 573-4-BREAD-4. 573-4-BREAD-4. Perhaps that's the issue. You, like me, do not enjoy being on the phone, but I do wish to have a conversation with you. So if you ever want to join me, that is the number, 573-4-BREAD-4. Or you can always leave me a message over at A Seeking Heart with Allison Jinger's Facebook page, or send me an email at allison@breadboxmedia.com. It's A-L-L-I-S-O-N. So all is on is how you spell my variation of Allison. You can also use a seeking heart at breadboxmedia.com. Easy for me to say, but just not this morning. I'm just so relieved. That was just crazy. You know, and I always, you know, come up to the studio early, get ready. And today I just had a million things I was doing. My son, Ian, is starting college for the first time today. I don't think you ever get over that first day mother thing. You know, I'm like, make sure, do you know what rooms you're going to? I know, he's 20. I get it. Like, he should be doing these things on his own, but I can't help it. I'm a mommy, and I want to mommy him. I know, hover, helicopter mom, back off. But anyway, so he's off to his first day, and I'm so proud and excited for him. He's studying, what is he studying? Oh, yes, American Sign Language interpretation, which is beautiful. First of all, I'm going to have some extra help interpreting what Faithy says and being able to communicate to her. But also his heart is really to do therapy to those who are hearing impaired. He had that experience in October where he was hospitalized and his roommate was deaf and only communicated in American Sign Language and some writing. But he realized that it was really difficult for this young man to get real help, because he always had to have not just a therapist to get used to and get, you know, be able to open up to, but he also had to always have an interpreter. And he just found that, my son just found that unfair, and it really sparked him to go to school finally, because he's been trying to decide what he wanted to do for the last 2 years. So finally decided what he wanted to be, and he's off. Yay. He's going to get his, hopefully get his interpretation. Interpretation certificate. I don't know. He's going to become a sign language interpreter first, and then hopefully, God willing, go on to become a counselor and be able to do what is in his heart to do. So, so proud of him. So please offer up a prayer today for Ian and all those starting back to school today and this week, our college students. So stressful and exciting at the same time to be a young person in college. It feels like just yesterday. I mean, it was 30 years ago, but it feels like just yesterday. I still get excited for the first day of school. Speaking of getting excited, I had the most amazing thing happen to me yesterday. So I don't know if you've heard yet about this retreat coming up March 10th through the 13th in Ohio. It's called Arise, and it's from Good Things Radio. Brooke Taylor and Jennifer Willits are putting it together. I heard about it. But I was thinking, you know, if after sharing online, on air, and online, everywhere, that we just, you know, financially this year has been really tough. Didn't even give it a second thought. Like, there's no way that I can attend this year, ever. It's just like, it's not happening. And I kind of just put it, you know, off to the side of my brain and didn't think about it. Well, a very generous people came forward and have offered to pay for me to go. Well, you know, this is where you start to learn about the virtue of humility. My first initial reaction is, no, I am not taking that money from you. Like, that's, I'm just not doing that. But the more I prayed about it, and then this is the crux of what happened. Like, I had been praying all day about whether I should go, whether I should figure out where to find the money, if this is where God wanted me. I prayed in mass. I had friends praying. I prayed throughout the day. And I talked to my spiritual director about it. Like, this has just been on my heart. And then to get home and have that message, even though my pride wanted to say, no, I can't take that from you, I knew that I was being called to go and to accept that. And I thought about that joke that people tell about the man that drowned in the flood, and he gets to heaven and he says to God, you know, why did you let me drown? And the joke goes longer, but basically the punchline is, during the joke, that God sends a truck, a boat, and a helicopter to save the man. And the man, every time these things come to save him, he says, oh, God's going to help me. God's going to help me. And he sends them away. And then at the gates of heaven, he says to God, you know, why didn't you save me? He said, I sent you a truck, a boat, and a helicopter. What more do you want? So after, you know, praying a little bit and being just so excited because I so want to be at this retreat, the Arise retreat, again, March 10th through the 13th in Ohio. I should have exactly where it is in Ohio, but I'll have the link up in the show notes and I'll tell you a little bit about the retreat in a minute too. There's 7 spots left, so perhaps the Lord's calling you to come and join me and Lisa Hendy and Sarah Reinhardt and Brooke Taylor and Jennifer Willits and Andrea Singalera. It looks like Cinderella, but Singalera, what a beautiful name. She's doing holy crafts. Like, we're going to make stuff. I love making stuff. So we have holy craft. And Ben Walther is the worship leader. I don't know if you know who Ben Walther is, but if you don't, you need to go Google him, YouTube him. Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I love worship music anyway. I was in a worship band for a couple of years, and I just absolutely love praise and worship. So, if that wasn't enough, then the first night we get s'mores and wine. Like, you had me at the list of people who are coming, but then offer me wine. And then you tell me that I get my registration pays for all my meals, my lodging, my snacks, my unlimited beverages, though I'm sure it's not unlimited wine. My linens, my towels, my craft supplies, and the speakers, and also personal spiritual direction. And the retreat leader, just ice this all off, is Father Nathan Cromley, SCSS. No, that's not, that's a CS. Every once in a while, my little dyslexia throws in there. Okay, CSJ, which makes him a Jesuit, basically. Eagle Eye Ministries Retreat Master. Oh my gosh. I'm so, so excited. I just found out my friend's wife is going to be there and we've never met. So there's just, I hope that the Lord provides you with such an incredible blessing as providing you the means to join us, I can say us now, at the Arise Retreat, again, March 10th through the 13th. I will have all the links for you to check it out. I hope you will join us. When we come back, we're going to look at Your Faith Has Made You Well by Barbara Hosbach. You're listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. I'll be right back.
Redbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Redbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Redbox Media. Allison is trying to tweet and talk at the same time. It doesn't usually work. I was almost done with it, so I wanted to make sure I got out there and just tell people what we're talking about today and tomorrow is Your Faith Has Made You Well, Jesus Heals in the New Testament by author Barbara. Barbara, it's really hard. Why do we need words without R's in them? Because I'd say Baba, which is like not even English, but it's Barbara Hosbach. And Barbara was my guest last year, one of my first guests, because I absolutely fell in love with her book, which at this point in my brain is not even coming to mind what it is. Oh my gosh. Some days are just harder than other days because I'm Allison and welcome to my show, Seeking Heart. I'm so excited to have you here, and we're going to be looking at Barbara's book that's in my hand, and I'll get the name of her other book for the next segment. Your Faith Has Made You Well, Jesus Heals in the New Testament by Paulist Press. I think this is my first Paulist Press book here on our show. And what a good one to start with. I love talking about scripture. I love studying scripture. I love looking at scripture. I'm opening a piece of paper and making tons of background noise. Really great for radio. Not. Anyway, so Your Faith Has Made You Well. I could use some of that right about now. By Barbara Hosbach, Paulist Press. Let me tell you a little bit about this book. Jesus's healing power speaks to all of us who are willing to turn to him and have our eyes, ears, minds, and hearts open to what he offers us. Through the Holy Spirit, Jesus passed the torch of his ministry onto his followers, including us. I love that. While we may not have the charism to heal others physically, all of us can cooperate with God's desire for our wholeness in body, mind, and spirit. We can use our talents and abilities to minister to others by listening, serving, and sharing our own hope and experience with the healing power of God's love. Each chapter of this book begins with the scripture account of a healing story and then takes a deeper look at what happened during the process. Chapters explore what those encounters might have felt like when viewed through the eyes of the people involved. Questions? Yay! Questions at the end of each chapter. Like, I should make a song because I love the questions at the end of each chapter. Sarah Reinhart and I were talking on Monday's show about how she's getting a little tired of that formula. She's like, why does everybody have to put questions at the end of their chapter? And actually, I was also talking one day with, I think it was Greg Willits, and he had the same thing. Like, why is this formula? And I think it's because there are still people like me who are total dorks who enjoy them. It's like school. It's a Catholic school for us, no longer in school. I like questions. I like having things to ponder. And sometimes I can figure out something to ponder myself as I read the text, but sometimes I don't. And especially when you're going to lead a group in discussion, like I do every Monday at my home, I like questions. I love that these are back at the end of most chapters in the nonfiction Catholic realm of the world. And that makes me happy. So I hope that this trend doesn't end anytime soon, because you know what's going to happen? It's going to be exactly what I did reading The Imitation of Christ. I had to add my own questions because my group tried to do them this book together, The Imitation of Christ. And we ended up looking for questions online. We couldn't find any, so I wrote them. I should actually put those out someday. Oh, note to self, publish your questions for The Imitation of Christ. Yeah, good idea. Speaking of that, that came up yesterday. I was a co-host on the CatholicMom.com CM Hangout. We did it over at Google Plus, and now it's available to watch. We had on Sherry Antonetti, and Erica Marie was our host, and then me, and then we were interviewing Sherry Antonetti, who writes Small Success Thursday over on CatholicMom.com. It's one of my favorite things that Catholic Mom does. I learned yesterday, did not know this, that it actually first began with Danielle Bean. She's the one who started Small Successes over on CatholicMom.com, and Sherry picked it up. And each week, you just post a little tiny bit about what happened during your week that was a success. You know, like, we're so quick to look at the things that have gone wrong in our week and the things we failed to do. But this is an opportunity to look at least one, two, three things, usually, that you did that felt like a success. And I'm very excited. So, was on there chit-chatting. Actually, we were talking about motherhood and holiness in motherhood, finding time to pray throughout our day, turning laundry, poop, and puke into this time of grace and blessing and talking with our Lord. So I hope you get a chance to listen. It was just a half an hour long, not very long. It's a visual, not just an audio. So if you've ever wondered what I look like, here's your opportunity. I'm actually sitting in the studio because my laptop is being a little wonky. And I was afraid, last time I was on as a guest, my laptop decided to poop out in the middle of my interview with Lisa Hendy and Sarah Reinhart on the CM Hangout talking about forgiveness back in December. So I decided not to take a chance. So if you ever wondered what I look like and what I look like at work here, behind the microphone in my studio, here's your opportunity. The link is up on Reconciled to You Facebook page. And also, I think I put it on the Catholic Mom, but if not, I mean, the Catholic Mom is definitely on CatholicMom.com. And it's on Catholic Mom Facebook page, but I'll throw it on to Seeking Heart as well. Always, you know, anytime you are listening to a podcast or you're listening to this live and you're thinking, okay, you mentioned a link or something here, but you couldn't find it, just send me a message. Honestly, I love people. I love talking to people. SeekingHeart@BreadboxMedia.com or go to ReconciledToYou.com. Send me a message. I'll make sure whatever it is I've mentioned and failed to let you know about, that'll hook you up with it. I will hook you up with it. So just let me know. So back to your faith has made you well. So each chapter has questions at the end, which can be used for private reflection or group discussion or journaling. I love journaling. If you're a journaler, I'd love to know how you journal, what you write about. 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. Or how do you feel about questions at the end of your books? Do you like them? Do you wish to take them out? Do you ignore them? How do you use them? And so here Barbara offers us this way to identify with each story in a personal way and explore its relevance for them here and now. A brief prayer completes each chapter's reflection. And so Barbara Hosbach is a freelance writer, speaker, retreat facilitator who lives in New Jersey. She contributes to several Catholic periodicals and blogs, and you can find her at BibleMeditations.net. That's BibleMeditations.net. I love her writing. I do. I love her blog. I follow it. She is one of my Google Plus people that I follow. How many people use Google Plus? I feel like sometimes it's just me and a handful of my Catholic buddies. Are you on Google Plus? 573-4BREAD-4. Let me know how you use it. Like, what's up? Let's talk today. 573-4BREAD-4. In the meantime, we'll look at Barbara's awesome book. So let's look at the table of contents. There is, I need to take stock, quite honestly, in these little post-it tabs. I realize like every book I have is just littered with post-it notes and the little tiny tabs, you know, that remind you, like the little bookmarky ones. Love these things. Anyway, so table of contents. We have the man with unclean spirits. We had Simon Peter's mother-in-law. We're going to talk about that one. That one cracks me up. The four fishermen, the leper. that being restored to community life. We're going to look at that one today, too. The paralyzed man, the woman who was anointed, who anointed Jesus. That one's also on my docket for today or tomorrow. Remember, we talk about this book for a couple of days before our author joins us on Friday. So we'll talk today, God willing, tomorrow. And then Barbara will be here Friday, 10 a.m. live to discuss this wonderful book, Your Faith Has Made You Well, from Paulist Press. We have Jairus' daughter, a silent captive healed, speaking God's truth in love. The man with the paralyzed hand, the Canaanite woman's daughter, the boy with an evil spirit. He probably lives in my home. I think most teenage boys could be classified as a boy with an evil spirit or two. You tell, like, I'm a mom of teenage boys. One's not even a teenager anymore, but he's still, I think, young adult men. I'm not sure when your brain really pops in. I'm just really not sure. That I did interview Edmund Mitchell this week. His interview, he's from Reverb Culture, and his interview will be on February 2nd. And he said he's about 27, 28. His brain's in, totally in. I think it sounds like from listening to him, it clicked in kind of at an earlier age than most boys do. But I have hope that at least by 27, my boys will be functioning human beings. I love them. We're in a difficult spot. It's getting better, but okay, so back to the book. Jesus blesses little children, the rich man, a deaf man is cured. We'll definitely be talking about that one probably tomorrow. The blind man, there's a couple blind man stories in there. The crippled woman freed from what weighs us down. Oh yeah, I'll be talking about that one too. The man with dropsy, 10 lepers healed, the official son, and the man born blind, darkness before the dawn. The high priest slave that was cured, the centurion. Oh, I love that one too. And of course, Peter, the healing of guilt. I don't think we'll get to everything because I really miss that I don't do the 5 days of covering a book anymore. I love the new schedule. I love the new production schedule, but sometimes I miss and there's books that come up. I think I need 5 more days with this. Perhaps we'll blog with it over on reconciledtoyou.com. Much more to come. Please stay tuned to here. Where are we? We're at A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. And we're talking about Your Faith Has Made You Well. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to hello, voice. Like, it wasn't even like I was quiet during that break. Alex and I were chatting away, but apparently my voice forgot that it was time to come back. So welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media, and welcome back, voice. Let's try that again. We are talking today about Your Faith Has Made You Well, Jesus Heals in the New Testament by Barbara Hosback. I also talked about the Arise Retreat that I'll have the link up for that I'm going to March 10th through the 13th. I hope you can join us there. There's about 7 spots left. I think it's going to be an amazing, amazing weekend. And I'm so grateful to the Lord for providing me the means to go. So I'm going to start into Barbara's book by looking at Simon Peter's mother-in-law. This is from Mark 1:29-34, his Gospel of Mark. As soon as they left the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. Now, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her at once. He came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. Then the fever left her, and she began to serve. That evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or possessed with demons. Then the whole city was gathered around the door, and he cured many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he was not permitted, and he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. Oh, We could talk about this pasture. That's not, we could just be out at pasture all night long about this passage for days. I mean, just scripture. That's what I love about it. It's so rich. And, you know, on the show, I was saying I did the Catholic Mom Hangout yesterday with Sherry Antonetti and Erica Marie. And one of the things we started with was, what book would you take with you if you can only take one book with you? Well, I said The Imitation of Christ. But honestly, I think my answer would be the Bible, because there's no other book on my shelf that I can read over and over and over again. So I kept thinking, like, what book would I take? What book would I read more than once? And there are very few books that fit that description. And the ones that do all have to do with scripture, because it's the only words that I've ever read that continue to grow and change and morph. But not those words don't change. They change something in me. Like, I get to a different place, and then when I read them, the Lord speaks to me in a different way through them. And this passage is just one of those that there's so much here, but we're going to focus on Peter's mother-in-law and her healing. And the one thing that always sticks out to me is that she gets healed and she immediately, the word is, immediately gets up and starts serving people. Woman, you should have milked it. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with women? Why do we do that? Like, if I'm sick and I start to feel better, I don't let people know right away. I take my time. No, no, I still need you to bring me that soup. No, no, yeah, fluff that pillow. Oh, oh, I'm feeling much better. Some ice cream. Well, I don't say that anymore, but used to before the dairy intolerance thing kicked in. But, like, why do we do this, women? What a great woman, though, really, she is. And the point is of the story, of course, is that how completely God heals when he heals. When you open our heart and let Jesus in and let Jesus lift us up, how completely we can be healed to get back to what we are, back to our normal life, kind of. I think that's how we should look at this. Part of the story is, like, here we have this woman sick. She's got a fever. I think about, like, recently, I was just sharing with someone this morning, I'm supposed to be getting something completed for a project him and I are working on, and just having to apologize for being so behind on things. But this, the grief that we've been experiencing since October, I don't think we realize, like, what that does to us and, like, how debilitating grief can be and debilitating how much depression and anxiety can be and how debilitating, quite honestly, that menopause can be. We need to talk about this more. Not right now, but don't worry. I'm not going on a menopause kick. But I think people don't understand, like, if you can't see something, then it no longer becomes a problem. Like, oh, they're not really sick. Like, get on with it. But the only way we could really get on with it is if we let God get into it. That'd make a nice t-shirt, right? I've always wanted to make a line of t-shirts with all my little pithy sayings that just come out in adoration or when I'm talking. But really, to get on with it, we need to let God get into it. I like that. I so amuse myself. I'm glad someone's amused, right? So we're looking, I'm going to get back to talking about, let's use Barbara's words. Responding in service is the part of the chapter I wanted to talk about. Barbara writes, just as the disciples told Jesus about Simon's mother-in-law's sickness at once, and he healed her at once, she also began to wait on them at once. Luke's version of the story says that she immediately got up and began to serve them. I don't know what the Sabbath law says, Barbara writes, about women's work. Perhaps Simon's mother-in-law only served others in ways permitted on the Sabbath. Or maybe, having been healed on the Sabbath, she did not feel constrained to limit her service. Either way, she immediately felt free to help those around her. Any healing, she goes on to say, we may experience is, of course, very welcome. However, it doesn't lead us beyond ourselves to helping others as we are able to. Our healing may not be complete. Because of their limitations, some people may never be what society thinks of as productive. And she writes, that's okay. Maybe being helpful, she doesn't write maybe, I wrote maybe, I'm just editing Barbara's book as I go along. Being helpful being productive are two different things. Well, there's something to ponder, huh? Let's relook at that word, that sentence. Being productive and being helpful, perhaps, are two different things. A welcoming smile, a kind word, or a look of appreciation may be just the boost needed to lift someone else's spirits. Now, we see in the scripture that Jesus lifts her up. How do we lift other people up? Is it by serving them? Or is it just by being a smile, a kind word, just being the presence of Christ? The disciples didn't wait. Jesus didn't. Simon's mother didn't wait. If there is anything we can do today to reach out to someone who's hurting or needs what we have to offer, why wait? There's no time like the present. What great advice. There's healing to be had. There's help to be had. And we can be conduits. We can be Jesus' hands and feet, his smile, his kind word, his text message. We can be all those things when we let Jesus into our hearts. The next one I wanted to look at, because I really felt like it had a lot to do with today, with me sharing at the very beginning of the show how I'm able to go on this retreat because someone else's kindness, somebody came forward and offered, I'm just still so in awe by this, offered to pay for me to go on a retreat. After I was praying to the Lord and asking him how I was going to get there. And the one thing I kept thinking was, well, perhaps I shouldn't say how I'm getting there. Like, I'm not revealing who it was, but maybe I shouldn't even be saying this at all. And I thought, but I really want to share what God is doing through, I mean, his goodness. God is so good. And it's not just because he gives me money. That's not, it's like God is not a vending machine or ATM or the Powerball winning ticket. God is providing to me what I need. And I didn't need the money. I needed a retreat. I need to get away. I need to be filled spiritually. I have not been on a retreat in many years. I was supposed to go on one. It got canceled. I couldn't. I've just been so busy and not being able to find one that I felt would meet my needs or fill the desire of my heart. This one does. This one is so exciting, the Arise Retreat. And to be able to go is the Lord providing me this great gift. And at first I kept thinking, well, I shouldn't be going forward and telling people. And I thought about the leper. And this God-cidence, I love how God works. So this all just happened yesterday. And like, how many times have you been listening to the show and you're like, I say the words, this all happened yesterday. And here, this book was, you know, predestined to be read. And here it is, like they just, my life and the things that we're reading, the Holy Spirit just links in this amazing way. And today, the link comes from the leper who is restored to health, and Jesus says, don't go tell anybody. like keep this between ourselves. Actually, he says, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded as a testimony to them. But he went out and began to proclaim it freely and to spread the word so that Jesus could no longer go into a town openly, but stayed out in the country. And people came to him from every quarter. Now you could say, well, you broke what Jesus told you, or, you know, maybe that birthday wish thing, right? If I tell anybody my birthday wish, it won't come true. But I don't believe that. I believe that when God does something amazing in our lives and in our hearts, when he heals us, when he provides something for us, then we need to shout it from the mountaintops, just like this leper did, because we're not sharing what's happening to us, but we're sharing what God can do and what God has done. And that is what needs to be shouted from the mountaintops. And Barbara mentions that, you know, in her writing, that being healed and being told, contrary to our instructions or contrary to our society that says keep things in, the leper spread the word, Barbara writes, about his healing so much that it affected Jesus' ability to travel. I suppose it's forgivable that the man shouted his good news from the housetops. Maybe it was a bit much to expect that anyone could keep such an astonishing miracle to himself, especially someone, she writes, who'd been cut off from people for who knows how long. From outcast to celebrity status, it's easy to see how he got carried away. Who wouldn't have shared the news with everyone he came in contact with? I think God does something good, you share it. We're going to continue to share here on A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras on Breadbox Media. Please stay tuned.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.
Welcome back to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media. You know, someday I think I need to just do a show on what happens on my Facebook wall. There's just, right now, people have posted a picture. One of the deacons in my diocese put up a picture of it's a video actually, of a squirrel running down a snow-covered high-tension wire. And he wrote, the question of the day was, how long do you think it would take him, the squirrel, to clean off my driveway? Because as he's running, it's cleaning off the snow from the high-tension wire. And then the next thing was I put a link to Stephen Colbert's show. He had on Patricia Heaton. Is that her name? Yeah, Heaton. And they're both Catholics. And Stephen's actually a very devout, scapula wearing, as Father James Martin outed him for, Catholic. He teaches CCD. Can you imagine having, I'm sure he doesn't teach them now, but can you imagine having Stephen Colbert as your religious education teacher? How cool would that be? And so they had a very Catholic showdown on the show. If you haven't seen it, go look up that link from the Late Show with Stephen Colbert. And a friend from high school posted, I'm a terrible Catholic, but St. Joseph definitely sold my house. So I just love that. I love that social media gives us this opportunity to share our faith in such a fun way, just to have these conversations. Like you don't have to post constantly, you know, your Catholic faith with scriptures and saint things, but you can intersperse those with squirrels and, you know, life is good. So I think I might just go to my Facebook page and let's just chat, because there's some funny stuff happening over there. Anyway, at least in my head, the squirrel thing kills me. This whole squirrel phenomenon thing is just, it's out of control. It's viral. It's my pen pal from I was 9 years old when I got a pen pal. She's in Missouri, and we, like a Girl Scout project or something, we had to get a pen pal. 40 years later. Oh, good gravy, I'm an old lady. Almost 40 years later, she and I are still pen pals. And yesterday I got in the mail squirrel pens. She found squirrel pens and sent them to me as a gift. How hysterical. This thing is out of control, but I love it, because in a world where things can get so serious and difficult, and where, you know, we've been really just so sad, this squirrel stuff makes me smile. So I thank my friend Laura Lynch for sending me down this squirrely path. Like 3 years later, it's completely viral and I love it. So today we're talking about Your Faith Has Made You Well, Jesus Heals in the New Testament by Barbara Hosbach. And it is from Paulist Press, paulistpress.com. And you can learn more about Barbara on BibleMeditations.net. I threw the paper on the floor because that was just what smart people do when you want to refer to something. You throw it on the floor. Oh, some days, Allison, you crack me up. Yes, I just spoke to myself in the third person. Let's talk about this person in the first person, the third person. I never got that straight either. And I have a degree in English and I still don't know the English language. So the woman who was anointed by Jesus, healing from shame. How appropriate. Hello, Holy Spirit. So we have this woman who is a sinner like the rest of us. And she learned that Jesus was eating at the Pharisee's house. And she brings an alabaster jar, which is just fun to say, of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with tears and to dry them with her hair. She then continued kissing his feet and anointing them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisee who invited them saw it, he said, If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, and that she is a sinner. Jesus spoke up and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. Teacher, Simon replied, speak. And this is the lesson that Jesus says to Simon. A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed him 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay him, he canceled the debts for both of them. Now, which of them would love him more? Simon answered, I suppose the one who canceled whom he canceled the greater debt. And Jesus said to him, you have judged rightly. And of course, he's teaching him here in Luke 7 that we are all sinners, including Simon, who just obviously did not recognize himself as a sinner. And that's Barbara writes that here. Simon was a sinner too, but few people in town probably guessed it, least of all him. He was, after all, a Pharisee. He worked hard to keep the letter of the law and comply with external religious observances. He probably thought he was doing a pretty good job of it. He had no qualms about inviting Jesus to his home for a meal. As Jesus pointed out, however, Simon failed to extend the customary hospitality of the day to Jesus. If I'd kept reading, you would know that Jesus kind of called Simon on the carpet. It's like, you didn't wash my feet when I came in. Nor did you anoint my head. So perhaps Simon felt generous in opening the home to Jesus, and that his invitation alone was more than sufficient. Why else would he neglect giving his guest a welcoming embrace or the customary courtesy of providing water for his dusty feet? She stayed, we learned, she writes later, she stayed at Jesus' feet even after Jesus had acknowledged her and how he was, you know, grateful for her treating him in this way, because she was giving him that courtesy of the time, and that she recognized that she was a sinner and that she needed Jesus. Isn't that what we're all kind of called to do? And it's kind of hard sometimes to remember that we're called to need Jesus, to recognize him as our Savior. And I love that the last line here, she says, but those who were at the table with him began to say among them, who is this who even forgives sins? And he said to the woman, and this is the part I love, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. And he says that to the woman, the hemorrhaging woman as well. I'm not going to cover that story today, but if you've heard about it, she's hemorrhages for 12 years. She's the one that pushes through the crowd to reach, to just touch his tassel. And he says to her, your faith has made you well. Actually, we're going to talk about that one tomorrow, because there's a big story for me, a huge healing, a miraculous story that came through that gospel, through touching Jesus. And I want to make sure I give you plenty. I want to give it the story and that plenty of time, its whole segment. So we'll talk tomorrow about the hemorrhaging woman. But this idea that your faith has saved you, your faith, and what is your faith in? Is your faith in man? Is it in manna? Is it in money? Is it in mammon? Is it in God? Like, where do you put your faith? And to remember that we are a finite being with an infinite soul. And so if we live for the finite, we're going to be sorely disappointed, because this, you're never promised tomorrow. This life doesn't last forever. But the infinite life, or the life beyond this with God, does. And we can't deny that there's something beyond, this world ends. But I guess that we can deny what is beyond this. And honestly, for me, I denied it for a very long time that it was God, and that there was something beyond myself, a being that ruled the seen and unseen, who created the seen and unseen. But every single time I have tried to dispel this in my life, in my heart, in my soul, God has proved me wrong beyond a shadow of my doubt. I call those God-cidences, you know, like if you open up your heart to coincidence, if you let yourself see that God is moving in your life, if you ask him outright, Lord, are you real? Is this real? He's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to answer that prayer, because you are opening your heart to allow him to move in you. You know, to be able to open up your eyes to see God is a true gift. It's that faith So your faith is what makes you well. Your faith is what helps you to see God in all things. And it is quite a gift. And for me, staying at the feet of Jesus, just as this woman did, is where I want to stay. You know, I love the image. It's actually on my wall. There's a picture of Jesus talking with Mary and Martha from Lazarus' sisters from Bethany. And Martha is at his shoulder, kind of, you know, talking to us like, hello, she's not helping me. She's sitting on the floor, but, you know, with a tray in her hand. But Mary is sitting there, like reclined up against his legs and listening to what he has to say. And that image of her there, that's my go-to image, especially when I'm having a difficult day or I can't sleep at night. I throw myself at the feet of Jesus and just kind of lean up against him and just let him speak to me. And then, you know, we're not going to get to time for this, but I want you to ponder this on your own. The questions at the end are just phenomenal, and I didn't go through any of them, but this one: Jesus allowed the woman to kiss his feet and massage them with perfume. How comfortable are you when others pamper you? How can allowing another person to treat you well be a sign of respect for them as well as a respect for yourself? And for me, I kind of thought about all my food allergies and, you know, telling people about them, not so that they'll treat me differently or be, you know, do things different, but just to share, like, this is what I'm going through and this is how things are. But the response from people has been incredible. It just amazes me that, you know, people want to do good. So I think there's this, you know, reciprocal. When you do good for others, you feel good. But allowing someone to do good to you also allows that person a blessing and helps them to feel good. So just some things to ponder. How do we treat others? How do we feel about people pampering us or treating us well? I get embarrassed. I have a really, really hard time with it. It's teaching me a great deal of humility and, you know, quelching that pride to say, you know, I'm not perfect and I do have something that I need to deal with, but allowing other people to pamper you or to take care of you is a blessing. So we'll pick up on that tomorrow. We're going to talk more about Your Faith Has Made You Well by Barbara Hosbach. Jesus Heals in the New Testament from Paulist Press. You have been listening to A Seeking Heart with Allison Gingras here on Breadbox Media.
Breadbox Media is changing the way media is done. Streaming, podcasting, live web events, mobile apps. All we do is done to embrace the current landscape and deliver content that connects you with where you are. Breadbox Media.